In the country of France, the sport of bullfighting, along with many other things, is very different from in the rest of the world. In Spain or Mexico, when you go to a bullfight, it's a rather violent spectacle, during which a matador armed with a sword provokes a bull with a red cape and eventually ends up killing it in the end. But in France, if you were to attend what they call a bullfight, you'd in all actuality be attending a bull running away, or a man running away from a bull. In France, instead of staying in the ring with an angry, gouging, snorting bull, the so-called bullfighters jump over the arena fence into their safety, thus accomplishing no actual fighting. While it's debatable in this situation, there are times in our lives where running away is a good thing. Like most things, there is a proper and an improper time to run away. I'm going to cover a few examples tonight of times in the Bible when people ran away and see if we can figure out whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. I'll also compare these situations to times where the main character didn't run away so we can see how things turned out differently. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here we have the first three verses of the book of Jonah, in which God tells Jonah to go and try and save the people of Nineveh. And Jonah decides to turn and run to Tarshish. So not only is Jonah fleeing from God and refusing to submit to his will, but he's also refusing to help souls in danger. The crew of the ship comes across Jonah sleeping in the bottom of the ship, and they ask him why they are caught in this terrible storm. And they say to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and a lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. After this, Jonah explains to them that the only way that they're to be saved from this terrible storm is if they throw him into the sea. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Here we see Jonah's punishment for refusing to do what God wanted him to do and trying to run away. Later in the book, we find out that Jonah ends up doing what he didn't want to do in the first place, and the people end up being saved. Had Jonah behaved more like Philip in Acts chapter 8, things would have been easier. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" In this case, Philip goes where he is told and runs out immediately to the chariot and begins to study with the eunuch. God has put us all in charge of spreading the gospel, but how often do we avoid sharing with people because of our own insecurities or lack of motivation or even out of a dislike for someone? Because that was the case with Jonah. We should try instead to be like Philip, running towards every opportunity to share the gospel. After Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites by his brothers, they in turn sold him to an Egyptian official named Potiphar. And God made everything that Joseph did successful, and Potiphar saw this and put his whole household under Joseph's authority. This is Genesis chapter 39, starting verse 7. Now it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day, and he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." After Potiphar finds out about this, he has Joseph thrown in prison. It seems like things turn out bad for Joseph, even though he did the right thing in running away. But this opens up the door for him to eventually be set over all the land of Egypt by Pharaoh and to later reunite with his brothers. In the story of David and Bathsheba, David, instead of running away, is tempted, commits adultery, and has a man, Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, murdered. Nathan the prophet comes to David and confronts him about his sins. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. Later on in verse 18, the child dies. Sexual immorality is something that the Bible warns against many times by telling us to run away from it or to flee from it. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Of all the things to run away from, God's will, as Jonah found out, is one of the very worst ones. And as Joseph has shown us, fleeing from sin, not just sexual immorality, but all sin, that we might remain pure, has great reward. If you are outside of Christ, no matter how far or fast you run, you will never escape the evil in this world. You're just like a French bullfighter with no sword to defend yourself or cape to wave. Your only choice is to leap to safety. To do this, you must surrender your life to Christ and follow his plan for your salvation by confessing him before men and being baptized. If there is any way we can help you at this time, please come forward as we sing the invitation.